my husband saw a whole rat family on his way to the
family?
Gym in our neighborhood. Yeah, so how? Like a big rat, you're not gonna be able to see, but like a big rat.
That's pretty big.
And then a medium-sized rat. And
this
then
feels
like
a fish story situation.
Yeah. 8 little bitty rats.
Aww,
all okay. together.
That sounds adorable.
Cute. Yeah.
Where? Is it cute though?
Yeah,
it
cute? I think
it's
like
a family.
If it was kittens, that would be great.
Let me ask, where did you see these rats?
Next to the gym in our neighborhood.
Like just okay. in your neighborhood.
So yeah.
So
I have a neighborhood full of rats.
Okay, so is it strange that I have never in my life seen a rat in the wild?
Yes.
Yes.
I've never seen it. Like, do I just like repel rats?
Do you go
rats?
Out in the wild?
Yeah, I'm out in the wild all the time. No. I just assume that they didn't live around here. Do we have...
Maybe like your ancestors were like plague doctors or something. And they're
now,
like,
oh. In fairness, Elise and I don't live in... the woodlands.
It's true.
But Elise claims that she has seen them in the woodlands.
Yeah.
So
that's true on the waterway.
We are over there and slumming it in okay. Conroe
okay.
slash Klein.
Okay.
You're over
that's
here.
Where the rats are.
In the rat-free zone.
Right.
All right. Oh, man.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCurr.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
All right.
All right.
Coming at you hot.
Last week we were in Nashville.
We were.
I mean, you and I were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elise was there in spirit.
Was I?
I assumed you'd rather be in Nashville than wherever you were.
Maybe. I don't know. When is it?
What, next what? Week. Okay. Last week.
Last week. What day is it?
Yeah. It's Monday.
We're pre-recording, so it's hard, yeah. It's hard to keep track of what when is when.
Yeah. Yes.
Time is all relative.
I don't know. I might be doing something awesome, so...
Okay.
I'm going to assume that nothing is more awesome than hanging out with us and 30 high schoolers yes. in Nashville.
When you get my picture of me and Dolly together.
Yeah.
I will be jealous of that. Yeah.
We're not going to Dollywood.
I'm going to. She's going to be
because it's
out.
Like 3.5 hours away
no,
from where we're going to be.
She's going to be there.
She's always just in Nashville, just hanging out.
That's what she does?
Yeah.
I don't
she
think
walks the streets.
She
in
heard that we're there. So.
I don't think that's right. I don't think either of those things are right.
I'm speaking it into existence.
Okay. All right. Speak your truth, brother.
That's how this works.
It's the secret.
Yeah.
I'm practicing the secret.
Speak it.
You like the Olympics?
I love the
I
Olympics.
Do.
I'm a huge Olympics fan.
Yeah. I get emotionally involved.
Yep. Way too emotionally invested mm-hmm. in things I know nothing about.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Curling is my favorite thing to like be super into and not understand at all.
Well, if you were thinking the one thing missing from the Olympics is steroids.
I was not thinking that.
Then good luck. You're in luck.
Yeah.
What's happening?
The Pro Doping Enhanced Games is coming to
oh,
Las Vegas.
No.
Pro Doping Games.
Yes.
Great.
The Enhanced Games.
Boo.
Enhanced Games.
Boo.
All right. So this is, you are encouraged to use performing enhancing
whatever
drugs,
you want.
PEDs. And see what happens.
People are going to die. That's what happens.
Right, yeah. I feel like I already know exactly what type of people are going to show up to this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I think, yeah, not at the gym.
Right. And they listen to Joe Rogan's podcast. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, in Survivor, some guy like that was talking about how if your arm is out when you drink your milk, you're more masculine.
What?
So annoying. Yes, he's probably definitely going
as
to
opposed
the
to like,
enhanced games.
Right.
Yes.
How was I don't
because
even understand
because you're like feminine. Those muscles are so big you can't
so,
even get it
masculine.
Okay,
it's masculine about, to look like an idiot.
So it's like the opposite of pinkies out. Pinkies out.
Elbows out.
Elbows out. Pinkies in.
Yes.
Elbows in. Pinkies out.
Yes.
Okay.
Eye rolling is all I say.
Yes. All right.
All right. This is next May, a year from
legs?
Now. So time to get your time to either
oh,
get
so
your tickets
dope.
Or to yeah.
Yeah, we
get,
can get ready.
Get your PEDs, your PEDs at the Resorts World on the Las Vegas Strip. I don't know where that is.
On the Strip, they just said.
I don't know what Resorts World is.
I think it's MGM branded.
Okay. Well, sure. Why not?
Say it with confidence. We'll
they're,
be right.
They're embracing,
it's MGM branded.
That's right.
This is what the event organizers are calling a superhumanity
no.
future.
No. It's not a superhumanity. It's a yeah. drug-fueled idiocy.
Right. But however, can we compete as a team?
Oh, yeah. Are there team events?
Yeah.
Curling? Fancy mopping?
Can we do...
performance-enhanced curling?
The three of us...
Sweep!
The three of us on each other's shoulders with a very large trench coat. Yeah.
I call top.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this seems crazy.
Agreed.
I mean, look, in some ways, I am kind of interested in, like, what could be the limit, you know, in like a, you know, more theoretical sense. Now, yeah. watching mm-hmm. it in practice of people destroying their bodies
yeah. right.
through performance and
drugs. It's going to feel gross.
Yeah, it would be pretty disgusting.
I prefer to let my theory stick to like comic books. Yeah. Be like, oh, right. the limit could be
Captain America.
Captain America. Right, that's right. it. That's
he, I mean, he does use a performance enhancing drug.
He does.
Wolverine. So.
Mm-hmm. He's a genetic mutant.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
I think genetic mutation would include, like, yeah. intentional genetic mutation could include
that's performance enhancing thing.
He's born that way. All right.
yeah, but then he had the things, like, inserted into him.
Sure. Well, his healing ability and his claws are a genetic mutation. The adamantium placed on his body was an experiment, so.
Because of his healing factor,
he could survive the procedure. All right.
You can't out nerd the nerd. I got you.
You gonna go? You going to Las Vegas?
No.
I mean, this seems appropriate for Vegas. It's either Vegas or Dubai or something like
sure.
this. It's like
right. yeah, yeah.
some monstrous city that's yeah. like, you know, filled with like, mm-hmm. you know, basically the seven deadly sins all combined into one.
Oh, nice callback.
Yes.
Yeah. Will I go? No. Will I watch if I stumble across it on TV?
Maybe.
That's possible.
I might watch a YouTube highlight reel kind of a thing. Yeah. Like that. I'm not watching on TV, but that could happen. I know there is like an SNL sketch of like somebody from like Russia who's like doped up competing in the Olympics.
This is a great one.
Trying to lift like a giant weight.
It's from the 80s. Yeah.
And their arms rip off.
Yeah. It's I forget the guy's name. Yeah, but it was back when like Dan Aykroyd and others were still on it. Yes. And yeah, it's a good sketch.
Yeah. So yeah. You know, if you could, you know, you know, get stronger, you know, would you want to be a better runner with some performance enhancing drugs?
Hmm. No, I don't think running would be my thing for performance enhancing drugs. I don't think that's what I'd go for.
Sure.
You're in it just for the muscles?
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Just
the
ripped.
Show muscles.
Yeah, it's obviously all about what you look like. Yeah. So, it's like,
yeah. The tight of the t-shirt.
I only run so that I look, you know, somewhat in shape. So. Yeah.
I will look better running, therefore look faster.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Where's the drug where I'm not always tired? That's the one I want to take. You know?
I think that's called caffeine.
Cocaine.
Maybe I need a stronger set. You know, the stronger version of it.
Yeah.
Let's bring Coca-Cola. Let's get back on it. I don't need the new OG. Coke. I need the new cocaine Coke.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Let's go back.
I feel like we're learning a lot here.
Yes.
Let me use some Coca-Cola.
I understand that. I'm saying you're like concerned.
And it was perfectly normal. Thank
what
you
doctors
very much.
Would just like prescribe to you. Like, hey, you feel a little
you
down?
You have a headache?
Cocaine.
Yeah, but then we also learned that people were dying. So.
Yeah.
Like, you know, got to crack a few eggs.
Okay.
All right, let's get to our main topic here.
Let's do it. What are we talking about?
From our friends at Relevant. Four things we get wrong about discipleship.
Did you forget what we were talking about for a minute? Yeah, okay. Do you think we're talking about seven deadly sins still?
I just was blanking. I was like, what are we talking about?
It's going to be a surprise to us all.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
By Annie Eisner.
Annie Eisner.
Yeah.
Not related to Michael Eisner.
I assume not.
Not okay. related to Eisenhower.
That's a different name.
Or Annie Oakley.
Right.
Also a different name.
Confirmed. What not
about,
related.
What about Little Orphan?
Jury's still out. This could be Little Orphan Annie.
All grown up. That's right.
Yep.
Daddy Warbucks.
And writing about discipleship.
Sure.
Why not?
She learned a lot from Daddy Warbucks.
Sure.
And the racially insensitive character named Punjab.
Well.
It is a hard knock life. She got that one right.
Right.
So.
All right. First up, what is discipleship? Let's define this before we jump into it.
Let's do it. Elise, you want to take a stab?
Oh, my gosh. I hate it when y'all do that.
We don't have to. I just like I like messing with you at this point.
Just found out what we're talking about.
I mean,
discipleship would be the act of walking with God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right. Simply enough.
Yeah. Typically, active. It's faith life, right? How am I actively pursuing a life of faith? Whatever that looks like. That's discipleship. Yeah. Often in connotation of following someone. A disciple usually is following someone.
Sure.
A teacher.
There you go.
Jesus, in this case.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Get on the disciple ship.
Yeah.
What you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disciple train.
Burr. Yeah. Foghorn.
Burr.
Yeah, in my mind, a discipleship is more of a sailing barge. So,
like a yacht?
I think more of like a classic one. You know, I want a mermaid on the front.
Yes.
What's the noise that you make for that?
Ahoy.
Oars. Pull.
Land ho.
Yeah, there you go. there you go. Excellent sailing ships. Oh. Okay.
Discipleship is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot in Christian spaces. This is
like Annie. On this podcast.
This, this is Annie, by the way.
Okay.
Usually with the assumption that everyone knows exactly what it means, but press in a little and the definitions get fuzzy.
No, we were very clear. Yeah. That was crystal.
All right. No room for ambiguity whatsoever.
It's a ship with a mermaid on the front of it.
It's like a ship, may or may not be sails.
An old, old wooden ship. Right.
That's how I see it.
Diversity and discipleship.
You could be a creaky, old. I don't see cruise ship because that's more like relaxing, right?
Sure.
Like discipleship, everybody's got to do jobs.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you're hasting the mainsail.
Hasting?
I don't know what it means.
Hoisting.
Hasting. I don't know. Like it's been, this is podcast number two recording.
I think you hoist a mast.
You get what you get at this point. But yeah, you know, somebody's in the crow's nest. Yeah. Everybody's doing something.
Everybody's got a job.
Yeah.
Okay.
But press in a little and the definition gets fuzzy. For some, it's a weekly coffee with a mentor. For others, it's joining a small group or finishing a Bible reading plan. And practice can feel more like a spiritual accessory than a foundational part of following Jesus.
Sure.
Jesus wasn't vague about discipleships. He didn't frame it as an optional add-on for the especially devout. He called it the cost of entry. Take up your cross and follow me.
He did say that. That's a direct quote.
That was it's in red.
Facts. That's a red letter. These are reds. Yeah. All right. So now we're going to get into the four things we get wrong about
just four?
Living as a disciple of Jesus. Only four.
Okay.
Good
so
pat on our back.
Before we get that, I'll say like as Lutherans, discipleship is not a big one that we talk about.
Yeah.
Like discipleship is it's a way bigger thing in typically more evangelical, non-denominational Baptist circles to talk about discipleship in small groups. And like that's just kind of been a part of their culture for a long time. Discipleship is kind of like regaining popularity within Lutheran and more liturgical and mainline Protestantism circles within the last 20 years. Like it's always been there. You know, people have always talked about following Jesus, but having this notion of like, oh, I can do certain things outside of Sunday morning that like help me follow Jesus. I can have a mentor. I can be in a small group. Like that's kind of breaking ground for us.
I think especially the idea of like spiritual mentorship is very, very different and very, very new. I remember friends that I knew who went, you know, more evangelical or non-denominational words. They say like, I'm discipling her. They would kind of use this language or like, I am being discipled by this older man or woman, you know, to almost always the same gender. Like I'm learning from them and I'm teaching to this person, you know, like this is constant like apprenticeship of faith that's happening. And where either you are apprenticing under the master or you are teaching the next generation.
Right.
Sometimes all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all those things are happening at once. So
I wish we would just call it that, honestly. Like that makes so much more sense, like apprenticeship and teaching versus like discipleship or mentorship, or I don't, it just feels culty when we use throwing those words around and I'm immediately like, ooh. Like, I don't want any of that.
Sure. All right, so faith apprenticeship.
Okay.
Where you learn about faith and also maybe like how to like hammer steel into a sword.
Right.
Obviously you need to do that as well.
I wanted both. Yeah.
Yeah.
All while on a ship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The apprenticeship.
The grand ship apprentice.
It's separate but sails with the discipleship.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's like the Nina, the Pinta, the
Santa Maria. Yeah.
They're all together.
Right.
What's the third? Yeah. Right. The apprenticeship, the discipleship, and the
mentorship, I guess. I mean,
that seems pretty similar to the apprenticeship.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
The leadership.
Fellowship.
The fellowship.
Oh, the fellowship. That's the one I want to be on, if I'm being honest.
That's the cruise ship.
We're playing bocce ball, shuffleboard. That's what we're doing on the fellowship, everybody. What are the shows this evening on the fellowship
right.
is what I want to know. Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh, even number two of the day, we still find some time. All right, discipleship isn't supposed to be convenient.
Ooh, okay.
Here's number one. What do you think?
Oh, that was number one.
That's time for our opinions. We're up.
I'm still thinking about the evening setup at the fellowship.
I know.
I'm thinking about the lineup. No, all right, yeah, discipleship is, I mean, I think that's when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. He does not say, take up your lounge chair.
Your fluffy stuffed animal.
Yeah, right? I think, you know, the notion of having to carry a cross is that there's a burden to it. There's there's something, there's a cost. There is a lifestyle change. But right, like that's cross had a very clear meaning for Jesus's day. Like it was, this is a thing used to kill people. Mm-hmm. If you're carrying a burden of something that's going to kill you, what are you carrying that is going to? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if we think about it in terms of like an apprenticeship again, right? Like there, when you are learning things, when you're in that process of learning, there are growing pains that go along with that, right? Yeah. And like that, the process of learning is not your most comfortable or your easiest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She does reference that Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it would be an even more confusing looking for. We get the benefit of, of reading the story backwards, or we know what we're pointing towards. The disciples... That is a very, very strange, you know, analogy that Jesus is throwing out there of like, huh? You know, like, but I think that it's a reminder that like really the cost of discipling Jesus, of trying to be like Jesus, is going to be a surrender of comfort and control and self-interest.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen once. It's going to happen daily.
Yeah.
And there's going to be times you do it well and times you do it poorly, but it's not like, well, I sacrificed my comfort. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's kind of a daily choice that you're going to have to choose.
One of the great Lutheran kind of teachings that we bring into a conversation like this is the distinction of law and gospel. And we typically talk about it within the context of scripture, but it really applies more broadly than that too. And that law is all those things which convict us of our sinfulness, remind us of our need for God's grace. And gospel is all those places in which we experience God's grace, right?
Yeah.
Discipleship should have law involved in it, right? There are places in which we should be convicted of our sinfulness as we're going through that process and be reminded of our need for God's grace. And there should be plenty of room for gospel. There should be plenty of places in which we're experiencing God's grace in that journey.
I thought you said long gospel at first. Oh, sorry. I was like, long gospel? Yeah. Like, this is
Forget that short gospel.
Right.
Stuff.
Like, I was seeing, like, the process, a long-term process of growth or something. I was like, oh, this is, like, an interesting, cool. Yeah. Like,
that's the gospel, but it's the extended edition. That's We've added in the deleted
it's
scenes.
It's like the Lord of the Rings. Special edition. Yeah. You need 6 hours.
It's showing on the Fellowship tomorrow night.
Right.
Yeah. I'm in.
Right.
I read this analogy that I really like. That I think most Christians find themselves not followers of Jesus, but fans of Jesus.
Yeah, I see that.
That they find themselves like, well, I'm in the stands, I'm wearing the colors, I'm cheering it on, but then I just go home. And like, maybe my emotions live and die with the success of the Christianity, but I'm not actually a part of moving it forward or maybe even holding it back. Like, I'm just... got my flag and I'm waving it as we do well, or I'm booing it as we do it poorly, but that's all I'm doing.
I'm not on the field practicing day in, day out.
That my biggest contribution is like I'm wearing the team colors.
Yeah.
I've got my Christian shirt and I got my Christian cross, and that's how I'm supporting my team, and I'm a fan of it.
Yeah.
And I think that is a pull out of, you're not supposed to be just a fan of Jesus, but a follower of Jesus is much more complicated and difficult.
I would agree. I think that's a really helpful analogy. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Number two, it's not just me and Jesus.
Who else is it?
your apprentice?
Your mentor and your mentee? Yes.
Yeah. So if you're an apprentice, who's the person that takes on an apprentice?
The master.
Oh. I don't want to
call. Or mentor.
Yeah. I don't want to call people my master. I don't like that. Yeah. I mean, I think... we've talked about the need for community in the past, right? It's something that we've done really, I think the Lutheran church and mainline Protestant churches have done really well in the past, that we say like, this is a communal act, right? We worship together for a reason, right? We gather together for a reason. So it's not just about me and Jesus and we can do everything and I don't need a community. No, we need community to walk alongside us. And if I'm the only one setting my own standards, how do I know if those standards actually align with Jesus, right? Like, I've often told people, if I read scripture on my own, God's going to end up looking a whole lot like me. And I don't need God to look like me. I need God to shape me to look like God.
Right.
Yeah.
And that happens in community.
Yeah. This is Annie again. Personal faith is important, but biblical discipleship is never a solo project. Jesus built his ministry around a community, not a collection of individuals on parallel spiritual tracks. And he spent nearly every waking hour with his disciples, teaching them, correcting them, eating with them, walking beside them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you definitely see that in the Gospels, that like once that team is assembled, they're in
the
it.
The Avengers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once the Avengers are there, they're definitely in it together. That there's one of the disciples isn't like, see you guys next summer. Yeah. I got to go back to, you know, real life.
Yeah.
And but you're going to get my summer my summer vacays with you. Trust me.
Yeah.
You know, like they're walking it together.
I do think this is also part of why, and at least this might have been a little bit of your reaction early on of like the kind of cringe note of like the disciple, like, you know, like when it's that one-on-one thing of like, oh, I have this older person who's discipling me and I'm discipling, like it doesn't feel like authentic community. It feels like I'm now just being patterned after this one person. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's not always that way.
Yeah.
But it feels more healthy to have that in a context of like a mentor with 12 disciples, perhaps, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like to do that in a group where like the group has wisdom to share, and that as opposed to I'm going to sit at the feet of this one person and I'm going to then give all this knowledge onto that next person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just doesn't feel as...
I'm wary of any kind of single source, right?
Sure.
Like it just feels like...
Especially because, like, we're not Jesus.
Right, right? Exactly. Like, in the world we live in, like, any single source is going to be fallible, right? And, like, multiple sources are all going to be fallible, but at least you sometimes maybe cancel each other out, like, you know?
That's why you go to Wikipedia and you look at all the sources at the bottom of the page. That proves that Wikipedia is infallible.
I think sometimes in a church context, it starts off easy, this, and gets much, much harder. Like, you know, in youth group, it's very clear, like, how discipleship works, right? Like the youth director is discipling and teaching the youth below them. And is there love and growth the other direction? Yes, but not really. I mean, like they're not, when I was youth director, they're not really asking me about my life. Mm. They're not investing in me. I'm investing in them. Like
it's a one-way direction.
And the relationship is very clearly defined, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm in charge of the faith community that we're building here. Mm-hmm. In an adult situation, it's much more nebulous, and that can be more complicated for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, instead of like, that's the, unless like the pastor is teaching a Bible study, then there's a spiritual hierarchy, but sometimes in just a Bible study, there's not. This is the one person who I am guided by and trying to live life by. Mm-hmm. It's we're all equally flawed and equally on the same playing field, figuring it out together. And I think that can be a lot better, but it is just more complicated.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not as easy to kind of figure out.
Yeah. I think what that lends us to is turning to really try to follow Jesus as a collective, as opposed to turning to like, oh, I can follow Patrick. And if I follow Patrick, then I'll be closer to Jesus. Right?
I mean, you would be, but yes.
but I think that's the distinction, right? I mean, and Paul gets into this in Romans, I think, or maybe it's Corinthians. It might be Corinthians, where it said, you know, they're arguing about which person they follow. Like, and, you know, I was baptized by Apollos. I was baptized by Paul. It's like, no. You were all baptized into Jesus, right? You don't follow me. You follow Jesus. And I think we can,
And another time he says, like, if you can't follow Jesus, you should just follow me.
He does say that. Like, you know. Paul's not perfect.
All right. Number three, it's not just mentoring. Oh, booyah. Here we are.
It's not just mentoring. What else is it?
That's period. That's the end of the sentence.
Well, what else does Annie have to say about it?
Help us out.
If it's not just mentoring, what is it?
All right. Mentoring is about transferring knowledge. Mm-hmm. Discipleship is about pointing people to Jesus, not to yourself.
Great. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to be a spiritual expert to disciple someone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what we're saying. So, so the premise is I don't have to come in and, like, essentially teach you a class to be my disciple, right? And this is kind of what Jesus did too, right? Jesus modeled living so that the disciples would be closer to God, ostensibly, right? And so how do we model that living? How do we help someone model that living for themselves so that they're closer to Jesus?
Yeah.
And so it's not just, oh, here's all the, here's 15 facts that you need to know. And if you know this, then you're good, right? Or if you read this book, then you're like, it's not that.
Yeah. It can be even, I think, we're just like supporting roles in each other's lives, right? Sure. Like, I'm here as a friend and somebody who's in it with you, and I support you in trying to figure out what all this means, and like we're all trying to learn together, you know, like that I think is also valuable.
Yeah.
And is not like just me like transferring what I think about something to you, you know,
right?
Or the other way around.
But I think what you're describing is closer to what she's calling discipleship.
Yeah, I hope so, because that's what I was going for.
There you go. Nailed it.
Number four, it's not a formula.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
It's going to be different every time.
Yeah.
But I will say, I've definitely been in communities and places where they've said, like, this is the discipleship form. Like, this is how you do it.
You're right. Mm.
And they've said, like, here are the five steps. And
yeah.
Now your job is to go and find someone to disciple with these five steps. And, like,
yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah.
It's not that you shouldn't, like, be willing to, like, it's not that you shouldn't be willing to disciple people or be discipled, right? Both of those are good things, but it's not a formula.
Sometimes I'm like, why are Christians so weird? Like, why are we so weird?
I think it's because it comes from a place of saying, this person is not saved, and out of love for them, I need them to be saved.
Yeah.
And so here are the steps that I can take to make that happen. And I don't think that's necessarily right, but I think that's the place that it comes from.
Right.
If I'm giving them the best.
That's nice of you.
Ring.
Yeah.
I think there's just like a formulaic approach to discipleship or growth. One, it does make sense. And two, it's easy because then you follow the steps and at the end, you're a disciple. You know, like it's that, like that's what it makes sense, or it's easy to kind of do that kind of progression and an acknowledgement that like you can follow all the steps and at the end, you're actually not actually closer to Jesus or you're not actually following Jesus. You're just following a program that is lessening our control or our sense of like what it should look like.
Yeah.
Like, Christians, even though we follow a God of like mystery and depth and existence beyond our comprehension and beyond the universe, are always trying to simplify it and make it something that can be grasped easily. And so a 12-step program can be grasped easily, and that is attractive. Like, just like in politics, right? Like, if we always say like the solution to this major problem is X,
right,
it makes it sound like it's achievable and easy,
even though it's
but even though it's
X,
it could never be that, you know, there's a tremendous amount that kind of goes into it. And you know, so I think that that's part of the appeal, and maybe that's not just a Christian thing. I think that's, you know, like there's a lot of programming out there. You know, if you're doom scrolling through Instagram, you can definitely find like you want to get in shape, do these things. You know, like, or you want a better marriage? Do these things. You know, it's like this really clear like checklist is not just within Christianity. I think it can exist in, across humandom.
Yeah, even if we go back to the apprenticeship model, right? I mean, there's probably a checklist of things that you need to do in order to be a blacksmith, right?
Yeah.
But to be like a really good blacksmith, like there are intangibles that are not on a checklist, right? And that you learn by observing and crafting and doing over and over and over for hundreds of thousands of hours, whatever that looks. And I think there's a checklist that gets you to, okay, I now know what it means to put a thing in the hot iron and smash it and turn it into an, but that doesn't necessarily make you a blacksmith.
Sure. Or yeah, like I learned how to make a sword, but what happens when the next person comes in and asks for an axe, right? Like I didn't learn how to do that. And I never figured out how to deviate from the system.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like for those things. And I think that is part of discipling Jesus. I mean, Jesus doesn't have like a very clear like progression of like, today we're learning this and the next day we're building upon that to learn this.
Yeah.
Like some of the early teachings are incredibly complex and difficult. And at the end, it's just kind of a message for like, hey, we love each other, right? You know, like, you know, and that's equally complex and difficult for the disciples, you know, but like, as far as like maybe a teaching goes, it's not like there's a mystery attached to like what it means to love one another. So,
yeah.
So some days, discipling Jesus is very, being a disciple of Jesus is very, very easy. And some days it's going to be feel impossibly difficult. But, but it's all part of that process.
And I think wrestling with that is a sign that you're taking it, like that you are a disciple, right? If you're out there thinking like, I don't know if I'm really a disciple of Jesus. If you're wrestling on a daily basis of what does it mean for me to like be in this relationship? Like that's it, right? Like whether you have a relationship with a mentor or not, whether you're like actively in a community right now or not, like, trying to follow Jesus, wrestling with what Jesus is calling on your life, that is the act of discipleship. You're doing it.
All right.
Have faith.
There you go.
But find a community because that's important.
Sure. You know, if you don't have that. Obviously, you got to spend some time on the fellowship.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are welcome.
Come join the fellowship.
We got buffet. Excursions.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. What kind of excursions on the fellowship?
You know, obviously some snorkeling, some skydiving, you know, you want to swim with dolphins? We got it.
Touch a turtle? Got it.
Got
are those dolphins exclusive to the fellowship? Like they're not accessible by the apprenticeship or the discipleship? Is that what I'm hearing?
They're learning how to train the dolphins.
Okay.
Right. Where you do the work part.
Got it. Okay. All Anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, friends. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, send us your thoughts on what kinds of activities we should have on the fellowship. You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com, and you can find all of our podcasts at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.